You suck at manifesting.
And I know why.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, And I Know Why, where we talk about real life and real healing.
In this episode, you guys are going to know why your manifestations aren't working, why you don't have what you want in life, and hopefully we're going to help you learn a better way on how to get it.
I'm super excited for this one. I feel like this is a topic that people have brought up a lot to me. I even had someone, my friend, and who was my doula as well for my first birth along with you. But she had told me, she was like, man, I feel like everything always works out for you with your manifesting. I love how you manifest. And she was like, I want to hear you talk about how you can make that work. How does this happen for you? So anyway, we just were like, okay, well, we'll share about it then.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing. And it is kind of validating when someone else notices it too, right? Because in life, no matter what you're doing, if someone else notices, then it's like a, you know, just that affirmation that you're going in the right direction, you know what you're doing, or maybe even if you don't know what you're doing, that you're still doing the right thing. So I totally get that, what your friend was saying. Let's get to it. What is manifesting? Why is it such a hot topic for so many people, especially in alternative healing and people of faith and spirituality? They all want that. And then, of course, there's the New Agers too, which I try to keep, you know, a pretty calm thought about, because I feel like they have really kind of twisted things. But there are a lot of people that see manifesting as a way to get what they want without putting in the physical work. And they look at it, you know, like it's a shortcut or something. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a shortcut, really.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly right. Because a lot of people, you know, when they are wanting to manifest, and when manifest becomes like this, I don't know, pop culture topic, or like on TikTok lately.
That's a good way to say it.
You know, in the last few months, there's kind of been this trend of lucky girl syndrome, where people are trying to display how manifesting has worked for them. And it also becomes this kind of status of being somebody who can manifest that I see like displayed on Instagram or in these places. They make it like this thing of, like, oh, I wanted money and I manifested it. And, you know, they kind of make it about, oh, my life looks perfect, or I don't know.
Oh my gosh, Kenz, I didn't even know they were doing that. Mm. That's so, so disappointing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes an image thing. And, you know, people trying to share their experiences, but also I think it comes across too as just I'm trying to make you think that my life is really good, as opposed to, you know, really feeling like your life is really good. And I think that, I mean, there definitely are people who are doing a great job of just talking about manifesting on social media or whatever, who are trying to help people understand to do it. But, you know, I think with social media in general, you just get that I'm trying to show a specific image.
Yeah. Yeah. And sorry, I just made a funny face there, guys.
And I just, you know, anyway, so we're going to talk about, first of all, what is manifesting and what is it definition wise? So if you just look up manifesting, and I'm not talking about like a New Age dictionary or something, I just like looked up, okay, manifestation. I just want to kind of see, you know, it talks about having a clear, obvious, or something that's clear or obvious to your eyes, to your mind, to display or show, like through your acts, something, or the appearance of something, right? Something that appears. And it also is demonstrative or in evidence of, and the other thing it said was, you know, just, you know, things appearing, right? It manifested right there. It all of a sudden appeared. And for us, you know, I'm kind of taking that definition a little bit and adding to what I feel like we're talking about when we talk about manifestation. Because like I said, I feel like it kind of has become a different thing for people of, getting things without having to work, or being able to create the concept of abundance in a way that is visible to people. And for us, I feel like when we talk about what manifestation is and giving it a definition, it's creating the self and the life that you want in accordance with the flow of the universe and God, and loving it and like having it be the things you want. And the important thing in that definition to me that we came up with is accordance with the universe and God. And this is a really important part because we don't always know what's best for us. And although we have ideas about things of what would be really good to manifest or what would be really good to have, God and the universe are always going to know the better way. And
some ways, something we call that sometimes is being in harmony with God. Harmony with what your higher purpose is in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Didn't mean to step on you too closely there.
No, that's perfect. And that's exactly, you know, I want to make sure, like getting into this, that everybody kind of knows, like, what do we mean when we're talking about manifesting?
Yeah.
So that is what it is, that it's the, you know, the important thing, right? Pay attention, is creating the self and the life that you want in accordance and harmony or flow with the universe and God and loving it. That is how I would define manifesting. I don't know if you have something else to add to that.
No, that's perfect. So I hate to say this on Google, but they have listed ways to manifest or how to manifest. And they have a whole lot of things that appear on the best way to do it or what is the most important in creating it, right, in your life. Mm-hmm. And we pulled a couple out for people to hear on these lists. And we list these because in a way, there's some very good things in here, but they're more tools. These are tools that assist in manifesting, but these are not truly what creates manifestation for you in your life. And so I'll go ahead and list them just so that way people can see it and understand. The first one is a vision board, which I totally have.
Yeah, mine's all packed up right now, but I totally do a vision board. Yay!
Well, here's mine, right? And hopefully they can see that. But I mean, that's a simple one, right? And it's totally good to have. We're not saying not to have these things. We're just saying this is not what makes it so manifestation happens. These are the tools, remember. So the second is journaling. I do some journaling, but I'm not a great journaler. Affirmations, I do affirmations, but I don't do them every day. Thinking about your wants before bed, I do that.
I do that in the form of prayer.
You do that too?
I was just going to say,
part of it is prayer for me. And then also going out of your comfort zone. On Google, they say, think outside the box. Surround yourself with positivity. That's a good one. It is. But we can't always control that either. And then I have no idea what this is.
Remember
369?
That's right. 369 rule.
Okay. My brain was seeing 369, and I was like, I don't know what 369 is.
So that's just a number.
369 rule with affirmations and thoughts. And Kins, go ahead and say what that is, so that way they don't just hear my voice all the time.
Basically the concept that three times in the morning you say like the specific affirmations or repeat the thoughts, and then six times during your day, and then nine times at night. So it's kind of just trying to make sure that you're patterning your thoughts and controlling your thoughts in a way that's positive.
Right. I like that. I do. And then the last is plan out your dream life. And So planning out your dream life, it can be anything, but it is a type of visualization. You know, you're going to visualize what it is you really want your life to look like. Mm-hmm. And like I said, these are the tools. These are not necessarily the actual way that manifestation is going to happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is important to have some of these like physical reminders or physical things that you can do daily to remind yourself. I do a few things on that list daily, and then other things, you know, and I'll do those as it pops into my mind as something to do. But, you know, we're going to tell you guys what we think is really important. And, you know, one thing to think about too with these is to also kind of think about what do people want from manifesting. And that's why I was kind of bringing up the social media stuff, because a lot of times it becomes very focused on money. And I don't know if you have noticed that, like you have, or if you guys have noticed that it kind of becomes this thing of being focused on gaining monetarily, which is not a bad thing to do. And I absolutely have things that I do to help manifest that for me. But some people become so focused on a specific thing, whether that's money or, I don't know, advancement in career, or what, you know, what kind of things do you see people like fixate on? Because it kind of becomes this fixation on it looking a certain way.
Right. So I do think, everyone, that in the last, it's close, maybe like 150 years now, we've been focusing, our societies throughout the world have been focusing more on materialism. So I think that's a big part. When people think of manifesting, they naturally go to the money or to the car or to the house. And there's nothing wrong with that. But having had those things in my life, I can tell you that in the end, I end up wanting to manifest more about my actual life, my relationships, improvement on how I love myself. What do I see good about myself? What do I see good about the people in my life, having good people in my life, having a good job, doing things that are fulfilling in my life? So it ends up being a little less physical for me when I think of manifesting. But I do think that the physical side is important too. So I do think, you know, health or weight or house, like we said, I think we are fighting a fight that maybe in some experiences in our life now, people don't understand if you're not wanting to just look at the material side. So there's a lot of things, right, that we can all want. Yeah. And in manifesting, I don't think you should limit it. It's just that I don't think that you should just focus just on how much money can you make.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, part of this need for the physical is that it's seen. You know, you can see it if you're trying to manifest it. Other people see it. But as you're, you know, trying to manifest other things, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, it's not as visible. And it might even just be that concept in general that has kind of turned people away from more of what manifesting can give to them. But I mean, like we said, it's super great to manifest better things coming and to have those experiences. So let's go ahead and we'll give you guys our list right now of our 8 things to manifest. And after we do that, we'll go through some examples of, you know, how this can be used to help you and to not help you. I guess before I read it, I just want to kind of say that manifesting is a natural law, like gravity. You know, and these concepts of karma, or a lot of religions do the paying the tithe. Mm-hmm. This concept of giving and getting back, whatever you put out, you get it. That is a natural law that occurs, and it can either help you or hinder you, just like with gravity. Like, you can either work with it, you can try to work against it. You can, you know, you can have a positive relationship with gravity or a negative one. It's really up to you how you do it.
So true.
So our list is one to help you to understand what it is, what is going on. How does something manifest? Because I think this list that we have is also the formula for how something manifests, good or bad. So let's just start. Number one is you have to look at the spiritual things. So Dominique, will you start off talking about those spiritual things?
My brain went blank.
I can do it if you.
So spiritual things, of course, are, you know, your relationship with your higher power. That's mm-hmm. an important one. Are you living a life that your belief system holds in as a standard? Yeah. So, you know, for many of us, that is the Ten Commandments, the most mm-hmm. simple and easiest way, right? Because the Ten Commandments can be broken up basically into two concepts. You have for the laws. So you have the first five, which is the principle of loving God. And how do you love that? How do you mm-hmm. love God? And those first five are the rules on, well, hey, you should probably do this, you should probably do that. Right. If you're wanting to show God and to know God and love Him, do these five things. And then the second, if you do the second grouping of commandments, 5 through 10, that is the principle of loving yourself and your neighbors. You know, learning to love expanded beyond yourself, rather.
Right.
And so those rules are like, hey, don't steal. And hey, you probably shouldn't want what your neighbor has and go take it.
Right. Or murder
and,
people.
You know, yeah. Or you shouldn't kill, if at all possible, things like mm-hmm. that, you know. So those are very, actually very physical, but spiritual mm-hmm. Thoughts and experiences that we need to strive for in order to reach an ability to manifest more easily. Yeah.
And I'm going to lump emotions kind of in with this, too.
That's good. Yeah, that is good.
Because, you know, being in a healthy emotional space, and partly like, you know, these first few steps that we're going to be talking about are the awareness of, becoming aware of where mm-hmm. are you spiritually? Where are you emotionally? What's going on there? Are things good or are they not good? And right. you don't have to make it complicated. You just close uh-huh. your eyes and you say, am I healthy spiritually? And the first answer that comes is the right one, you know?
So
if
true.
It,
yeah.
you know, if it's yes, if it's no, it's information for you. And then,
yeah, if you get
you
like this
like
little
that.
Twinge that says, and then you go, yeah, I'm good. And then pay attention to the twinge first.
Yeah, twinge first. Because something didn't feel right. And, you know, it doesn't have to be these huge things of like, yeah. you know, the stealing or the murdering or coveting,
right.
you know, those kinds of things. You could be feeling just spiritually off because you haven't been like connecting to the earth or feeling gratitude for the things that you have or, you know, taking for granted the relationships that you have with people. Or maybe not nurturing those relationships. So,
right.
you know, things that feed you spiritually, are you doing them? Are you not doing them? So then the second right. thing, after you've viewed your spirit, your spirituality, the health of your spirit and the health of your emotions, you want to look at your thoughts. What are you saying to yourself? What do you say about yourself? What do you say about your life, about other people, about the world? What media are you consuming? What is it causing you to think about? And is right. that good? Is that what you want to think about? And it's just like, you know, when you're learning to ski or learning how to hit the ball, eye on the ball. You have to what you're thinking about is what you're going to do. So that's, you check in with that. What are those thoughts looking like? And are they reflecting what you want for yourself and for your family? And, you know, if you're having really negative self-talk, is that really what you want for yourself? Is that what you want to manifest? Because things start in the they start in the spiritual and emotional and thought sphere first, and they become physical. So you have to, you know, you have to, you know, have these stoppers in, right? So after you look at your thoughts, what do?
Yeah, and it's not about having this absolutely Pollyanna positive,
right?
Everything's in a rosy glasses concept. I mean, we still have to be real. We have to recognize what's going on around us. But it's about not taking that to the dirt level, you know, or below. You know, you just, if something negative happens, if something hard happens, we're able to look at it and say, what am I learning from this? What's the information I gain from this? And not, oh, this means I'm bad, or this means I can't achieve this, or I need to blame someone.
Yeah. And I think one amazing phrase for that, when you're examining your thoughts, you can say, oh, that's an interesting thought. You know, yeah,
that one works so well, you guys.
It's really good.
I love
it. And, you know, as a mom in postpartum, like, I have to use that quite a bit because my brain is very focused on keeping my baby alive and the anxiety is there. And I have to go, oh, that's an interesting thought when I think about somebody breaking in and attacking all of us and, and stealing my baby. And, you know, my brain creates all these scenarios because it's trying to help me to keep everything safe, but it goes into imagination, and I have a very good imagination. So imagination. I have to stop it. Imagination. I have to stop and just go, oh, that's an interesting thought. And, you know, like Dominic's saying, this isn't about keeping your thoughts, I don't know, like pure and clean and always happy. This is about being aware. Yeah. This is about, you know, what am I thinking about? And is that the way that I should be thinking? And once again, ask the question, you know, are my thoughts healthy? And go with that answer, yes or no, whatever it is.
Right.
So what's our third one? What's our third
step
to manifesting?
The next is looking at your physical surroundings. You know, are your home an environment of orderliness? You know, is it, is there order in your life? That's, I mean, there are so many people that want to achieve things and go on to their next level of achievement, whatever that is. And their house is chaos. Their family is chaos. There's no order. Their car, my dad was so good at this. He was a hoarder. So if you went in his car, oh my gosh, you could not believe the things you could find in there. And it wasn't going to enable him to progress in certain directions that he wanted to.
Yeah.
That's all I got for you, sweet.
Hey, that's great. The other thing that, you know, we were kind of talking about before this with, you know, that we were lumping in with the physical is the people you're around. And, you know,
that's true. Yeah.
And like we were kind of bringing up before, Dominique was saying, you can't always control being in a positive environment, because sometimes you're at a job and you need the job and it's maybe not the healthiest, and it's maybe hard to stay positive, you know, or, you know, there's a huge life transition.
Family is a mess.
You don't have,
it's gonna happen.
You might not have healthy family members, either emotionally or maybe like physically, like maybe you're dealing with really hard things going on in life. You can't always control the physical surrounding of what's going on. But, right. you know, but you have to know, right? You have to be aware and real with yep. yourself about what it looks like. And remember, these first three steps are about being aware and about viewing it in non-judgment and just understanding, okay, this is where I'm at.
Right. And it's, yeah, because that's the thing. If you have an awareness, then I promise you, you're going to start, the wheels are going to turn. Like, how can this mm-hmm. change? What can I do differently once you have that awareness? And so yeah. you don't have to sit there and fret like, oh my gosh, my family's a mess. We're never going to get forward then.
Right.
You know, we're never going to get what we want. That's not true.
Or thinking to yourself, if you're a mom going, wow, my house is never going to get cleaned and now I can never manifest or something.
Yeah, right.
That's not the
I'm
way
so
that
I'm so busy
is.
Taking care of everyone else as a home mom, you know, at home yep. mom. I'm never going to be able to go after anything else.
Yeah, or do anything that I want or that I need. You know, that's mm-hmm. definitely not what we're saying. Because everybody is in different times and all of these different times you can manifest and have really incredible, wonderful things happening for you. So the first three things, you've looked at your spiritual stuff, you've looked at your thoughts, you've looked at your physical surroundings. And now it's time for number four, which is the most important part to me, which is starting to ask questions. Questions are like your most powerful tool in life. A question can change your entire life, and a question can form the way that you are as a person and can help you to form everything. Questions are really essential. Yeah. So what questions should you ask? You ask me.
What do I really want?
What do I really want?
Yeah.
That's really important.
What is important to me?
Mm-hmm.
And this is about prioritizing. You know, mm-hmm. you have to be willing to say what's first, second, and third on your list in life. And then... Yeah. Recognizing and asking, what do I already have? I love yeah. that one, by the way, Kenzie Love. Mm-hmm. Go ahead yeah. with that.
So, you know, in all of this, and people talk about this concept and I really love, you know, attitude of gratitude, bringing in, mm-hmm. making sure that you have gratitude in your life for all things. And this is kind of the part you're seeing the things that you've seen where you're at, and now you're starting to ask, what's important to me? What do I really want? What do I really need? But you also have to acknowledge what you already have. Because if you are saying to yourself, I want to feel safe and secure in life, do you already have that? And you're just not accepting it? You know, I want, you know, someone... You know, people who come from hard backgrounds and are raising their children will, you know, who have decided they want to do it differently. It can be really hard to accept that they have done it differently, that it feels different for their
yeah.
children
yeah.
because they want it to be so, I don't know. What do you think? How would you describe that?
Well, yeah, because I think what it is we get... So we get so caught up in what we're trying to do for our kids. I know this because mm-hmm. I was that person, that when I was actually in a safe place and when I actually was creating the environment for my kids, I didn't recognize it at first.
Right.
I was just still in the place of, I got to figure this out. Well, I was already figuring it out. I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't gone to that next level of seeing the good I was doing, you know, and seeing what the environment really was already. And once I started doing that, I'll tell you, I started calming down. It was so
yeah.
nice for me. I was able to do more without anxiety and that anxious feeling, you know?
Yeah. It brings a calmness because you look and you think yeah. and you feel gratitude for what you've already done and what you've yeah. already received from God and the universe and from your life and from your work. And that's a really important thing. So after you've gone, okay, well, what do I already have? The next thing is, what is my new goal and why is that my goal? And this is really important because sometimes, like mom was talking about, you know, oh, I want a really big house. Why? You know, why is that your goal? And you might find that it's not about the big house, but it's about what you think a big house means. And then you might find that you could even achieve that same feeling without a $2 million home. You might find that.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing, because once you know what your goal is, you really do need to understand why you're doing it. Because if you are reaching for something, trying to get something, and you don't know why you're doing it, you're not going to hold that, I don't want to say intensity, but, you know, that inner strength and that core to reach it, because you don't know why you're doing it.
Yeah, you'll lose it. You'll lose momentum, the steam, you know, that pulls you through and keeps you going in the difficult time. If you don't understand what it is and why, you'll lose it for sure.
Yeah.
So after, and I can tell you, for instance, a good example on that, is that I like a big house, and it has nothing to do with price nor neighbors or neighborhoods. It has to do with me needing space. And so that can be defined all kinds of ways for me. And so as I started looking for what kind of house I wanted, I looked at what kind of space I needed for me to be able to feel comfortable and not kind of crowded. Because I had 11 kids growing up in my family in a 3-bedroom home. So you can imagine how I valued my space, right? So that has always been a big deal for me, to have that space. And for someone else, their goals on why they want a house to look a certain way, they need to know that. I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, when I was looking to buy my first home, I wanted a home that could also make income at the same time. And, you know, we looked and thought through. First, I did my research on it, right? I figured out what my goal was. And part of that figuring out my goal was researching. And, you know, do I want a duplex? Do I want a triplex? What can I afford? What can I do? And I had to figure out what my why was. My why was I wanted to be able to have a comfortable space that was felt like it was my own and not have it cost me a lot. That was what my goal was. And, you know, my husband and I had sat down and kind of figured out what we wanted our goal to be. And he had at first had a different kind of goal. And we talked about it and we were like, okay, well, underlying, you know, he wanted a duplex or something. And I was like, well, underlying, what do we want? Because I don't want to be like too specific. You know, I don't want to cage us in to something that there might be something better. And so we had that goal defined of what we were looking for. And then we ended up finding the home. It was the second home we looked at, and it fit everything. And that was a really amazing experience for me, because that was kind of my first time having, I guess, more of that financial manifesting.
You were wanting to have your home be a place where it could bring in money as well, right?
Yes.
So instead of saying a duplex, you just said, I want something that can have renters, or what did you say?
That would bring in income for me, is basically just what I put it as, where I could feel like it was, I was at home, and where it could bring in income. Because I wanted to, like, I was in school still, and my husband was figuring out what he would want to do career-wise, and I wanted something that was stable, because I could feel that we were going to have some years of figuring out what our life was going to look like. And so I wanted something that was a constant. So,
for income. Yeah, that makes sense. That's good. That's way good.
And it's been amazing. It's stayed like that for us. And so, you know, I just really defined what that goal was. So anyway, So the next thing, after you know what your goal is and why you want that goal, you have to ask yourself, what is stopping you from having it? And that does not mean a person. This is not a blame game. This is all about you. Mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. Those things that we that you looked at in those first three steps. What about those is stopping you from attaining that? Why are you, you know, why do you not already have it, basically? And this is a time of like being real with yourself and listening to the first answer to the question. If you ask yourself, what is stopping me from getting this goal? You will hear the answer.
So, and I can I just make a little point on the blame game part?
Yeah.
Because it's okay to notice if someone else in your life also has an impact on what your goals are. It's okay to recognize that. And it's also okay to figure out how you can still work around it. How do you move beyond that person hindering you or slowing you down or feeling like a weight on you or working against you? You can talk with the person if it's if it's truly an unhealthy environment. Well, of course you want to figure out how to get out of that. But most of us that are in relationships, we're trying to learn how to work with the person and have a long-term concept with them. And that means working within the bounds that each of us is comfortable with. And sometimes we move beyond what they're comfortable with and beyond what we're comfortable with, but we do it because we know that's where we want to go.
Right.
And that it's good. Not because we're being selfish, but because it really is a good thing for it.
Thank you. That's perfect. So the number four thing, guys, that you got to do is ask the right questions. What do I really want? What's important to me? What do I already have? What is my goal and why? And what is stopping me from getting it? So our fifth step, after you've asked all those questions, is starting to let go of the old beliefs and the old foundations that you have. So how do you do that, Mom?
Well, of course, the easiest way I know how is to do inner child work because those are where your belief systems were formed to begin with. And we, in our a previous video, we have done that and talked about inner child work. But you have to figure out what your belief systems are that are limiting. And believe it or not, limiting beliefs are not necessarily time beliefs. Like, for instance, and I'm not sure, this is coming right from the hip, you guys. So I'm trying to figure this one out verbally as I've thought about this before, but never verbalized. So a lot of times you'll hear someone say, well, I have to work on Saturdays. Well, why do you have to work on Saturdays? What if other things in your life suffer because you chose to do that? It's possible, right? So that old belief may be wrong in a way. And so you have to see if it needs some tweaking or course correction. Maybe it's, I need to work on Saturdays to get a few more hours in, but I'll stop by a certain time so I can have a well-rounded life too and spend time with the people I love. Who knows? But you got to find those beliefs. Like my dad's, let me see if I can remember it exactly. Rich people are lazy. That's what his belief was. It's so, so false. And it was so ingrained within him that he worked on trying to teach that to us too, that rich people were lazy. And it took me a while, right? Until I figured out that that was a lie and that I met all kinds of people who were well off, who were hard workers and who taught their kids how to be hard workers. So I had to let go of that belief because if I wanted to to earn more money, if I wanted to bring more comfort money-wise, monetarily into my life, I had to let go of the belief that only rich people had it and it that they were lazy, because then it would have stopped me from working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have thought then that would have created a circle of rich people are lazy, but I want to be rich. So that means I have to be lazy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, but that would have been the negative cycle I would have started going in, and it would not have helped me to work forward and achieve.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this shows up in, you know, I want to have a really healthy relationship. You know, someone might say that. But they might have a belief that you can't have a healthy relationship with a man, or that, you know, or maybe you have like specific beliefs about how a woman is in a relationship, and you end up, even though you're saying that you want to have something that's healthy, or you're saying that you want things to be a certain way, you actually already have a belief that it won't ever be that way. And no matter how much.
Or other people, right? Other people can have it, but I can't.
Other people can have it, but I can't. And it becomes the thing that you manifest, because it's the thing that you believe in your core. It's the foundation for you. So whether you have a foundation about it's too hard to make money, or a foundation of I can't do well in conversations with people when I first meet them, or it's too hard for me to have friends. You know, it can be anything. We all have decisions that we make about life being hard for us and why it's hard for us.
Yeah.
And it's about figuring out, well, okay, why do I think that way? And, you know, whenever I get irritated, because my husband will throw himself pity parties sometimes, and I always just go, do you want me to go get you some worms? Do you want to eat some worms right now? Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'll just go eat worms. And that's kind of the way that, you know, negative manifesting works, right? Like you create that decision. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Okay, well, then you're going to end up manifesting something that doesn't really have anything to do with it. You're eating worms, but anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, but, you know.
Well, and I like it. I'll use one of my siblings as an example. She is a really hard worker, and they have one child on purpose. So both husband and wife can dedicate everything they have and all their energy to raising her and helping her have a good life. But one of their belief systems is that rich people are awful and you can't trust them. They have like a whole bunch of different things with rich people. But guess what? They want their daughter to be well-educated and become a lawyer.
Or a doctor.
And I'm like, or a doctor. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what are you going to do when she gets that? Because you hate rich people. You know, what's going to happen to them when they get to that point? Or are they even going to get to that point? Because it might sabotage them earlier if they decide that doctors and lawyers are rich. And now what do they do? Because they wanted their daughter to be a doctor or a lawyer. I don't, you know, so I'm like, that has to be looked at, the belief system we have and how it limits us.
Yeah. And I think even with that, you know, if we, you know, look at the important questions to ask, what would their goal be? Their goal might be that she's happy and that she has a happy life. Mm-hmm. But what's stopping them from doing that? They have a specific way they want her to get it, but they've already sabotaged it. They've already put it in a space where it can't happen in a way that is healthy or feels good to them, or maybe even to her, if that's even what she would want.
Yeah.
So
that's brilliant, Kenz. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really important. You know, that's why we say ask the questions. Then you got to start letting go. Letting go of those old beliefs, because as soon as you know what's stopping you, and you have to own up to it. So this is when the footwork comes in, right? For doing manifesting correctly, is now you're going, okay, I've got these beliefs. Like those examples that we did, I was trying to think about, you know, even asking yourself, here's a really good question to ask. Why does it need to look like that? You know, and I think that's kind of what you were saying with the Saturday thing. Like, you know, I need to work all Saturday. Well, why does it need to look like that? Or, you know, I have to have these shoes in order to do something, right? You know, why? Why does it need to look like that? So that's another good question. So anyway.
Yeah, I like that.
You ask the questions, you let go of the old beliefs, and our number six thing is that you begin to open to new possibilities as well as seeing the changes that are happening. Yeah. So this is a really important thing because you have to be okay with it looking different. And I have found that the best manifesting that I can do is when I create the feeling that I'm wanting to have from something, or, you know, creating the, you know, what am I wanting to get out of something? And then I open to whatever it could look like. Like when my husband was trying to figure out what he wanted to do for work, part of me wanted to, with my old belief, pick a specific way that he would work, what it would look like. And he chose doing restaurant stuff. And I had to be okay with that and be open to the new possibility because we were given information from God that whatever he picked would work out, that that was the thing that would be important for us, but that he could pick. So he was given the pick of anything and he picked restaurants. And I was like, that's not what I wanted. And I didn't know that that's not what I wanted. But I had to open to the new possibilities and recognize the change. He, for about a year, had not been wanting to pick anything. And I had been wanting him to pick something. And once he picked something, I had to recognize, oh, he picked something. Like, he did good. And he was open to what else was possible. And I'm open now with him. So that, I don't know, that's one thing that happened for me. I don't know if you have something that happened with something like that.
I love that. I actually do. I love the way that you said that. So when I started dating for thinking about, hey, I think I want to have a family. Hey, I think I want to find someone who I love, kind of thing, mm-hmm. right. and who I can make a family with. I didn't know how to do this in a, to say, I want this, I want this, I want this, or I want these things to happen. All I knew was what I didn't want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is what we have to go by.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older and I've had a lot more experience in life and have had children and stuff, I don't think it's the best way, but there's nothing horrible about that way. Knowing what you don't want sometimes tells you what you really do want.
Yeah. I mean, so, it's that opposite.
You know just what I mean? Looking,
yeah, absolutely. Because with Ty and with a lot of Ty's my husband, with a lot of people that I have worked with and talked with who don't even really know what they want from themselves, what they want from life, what they like. There are a lot of people right. in this world that don't know the things that they like. It's easier to start with knowing what you don't like. And in turn, you can find the opposite. Okay, I don't like being pinched. Oh, okay. I like it when people are nice and gentle to me. You know, just having these, you know, it's good. You know, you don't want to focus your thoughts necessarily on the don't want for a long time, but use it as a way to help you to know what it is you really want. And being open to new possibilities, you know, were there things that, you know, when you started dating Dad or when you guys were first married, you didn't even know that you wanted or was even a possibility to have in a relationship that you were glad you were open to having?
So this is a bizarre thing because, you know, we are complicated creatures. That's all I can ever really say because we can think something and think something totally opposite too. Mm-hmm. So I struggled still with feeling like that there was a good man out there, that there mm-hmm. are good men, because I had had so many harsh and unsafe men in my life growing up,
right,
that there is a part of me that didn't feel like that was possible. Mm-hmm. And so I really had to be willing to say to myself that the possibility is out there that there is a good man for me. And, you know, as I got to know Neil, your dad, as I got to know him, I started seeing other good people around him that were good guys. And I was like, oh, maybe Neil's not the only good guy. Maybe there's a lot more good guys. But I had to open my heart up to being willing to say that there's a possibility that there are good guys out there. That I could say, you know, that was one thing I really had to work at. So that probably, I think that fits with what you're asking.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it falls into seeing changes, because you noticed that something changed in what you were seeing, and you acknowledged it too. Because, I mean, that's the thing, guys, is that we don't always know what's best. And we don't always, you know, it's in life, the toughest decisions are the good, better, best. And the toughest things to know, like, you know, when do you have it the best? You know, when, you know, sometimes we war with that kind of thing of always trying to one up or always trying to do better.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, being open to new possibilities, as well as keeping in mind, you know, what is my top priority in life right now, or what is, you know, the most important thing for me to have or to be creating, helps you to, I don't know, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, it helps you then start opening up your mind to the possibilities of how you can do that. Where is that available?
Yeah. Oh, I remember. Yeah. Just like, you know, you might think, you might try ice cream for the first time and it's vanilla, and you might think this is the best in the world. But then you learn about adding things to it.
Coffee ice cream after that.
Right. You like learn about all these other things, or, you know, and we see all the time, right, with little kids, like if you raise kids and you start slowly introducing them to foods, and they are amazed when you show them another thing that's even better. And and if we're that little kid,
another thing that's possible.
Yeah. And if we're that little kid and we're just so focused on only having the ketchup and the French fry, which is super yummy, you could miss out on a whole buffet of amazing things. And I love that God and the universe are like, hey, do you want more? Hey, I could teach you about this. You know, be open to something new, because I could send it your way and it could be amazing.
Yeah, you can almost feel sometimes when you are trying to expand like this, you can feel your higher power, or as some people like to say, the universe. You can feel it saying, oh, I'm so glad you finally opened up, because I had this really cool thing I wanted to show you.
Yes.
See if you like this.
And, you know, you don't always have to be, by no means do you need to be in a positive time in life for this to work. Mm-hmm. I remember my husband and I, before we were married, we were dating, and we did long distance for a lot of years, and it was very hard. And I remember just kind of grieving about it and talking to God and telling him, like, I just need something that helps me to feel safe and secure right now while he travels so much. And I need some sort of symbol for me. And I wasn't specific about what the thing should be, because at this point I'd already learned I'm not very good at picking the specific. I much prefer for Heavenly Father to just kind of find the thing and give it to me. And I had been at a volunteer place, and I was moving dirt. I don't know all the way what I was doing. And I found a ring. And it was like a metal ring with turquoise in it. And I found it and it fit perfectly on my ring finger.
So sweet.
And it was so perfect for me. And it brought that security and those things that I was asking for, I received in that one symbol. And I was able to just wear that ring and feel all those things that I was wanting to feel, because I was being, you know, really open to what that would be and what that would be like. That was one of my favorite things that I've manifested.
I love that. I love it. Next is being willing to do the work. Mm-hmm. That is a hard one, especially since, you guys, I do not like New Age teachings because it makes it seem more like you shouldn't have to work. You shouldn't have to try hard. And you do have to try hard. You do have to work. You do have to be aware. These things are important. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to live as we all have to have a schedule. The earth has a schedule, a cycle, you can call it, mm-hmm. that it lives by. So, of course, we have to as well. Yeah. And just flying by the seat of your pants and wishing is not the same as manifesting.
Yeah. And, you know, and when we're talking about putting in the work, you know, that depends on what you're trying to manifest. You know, if you're trying to manifest better relationships, well, then you're putting in the effort to figure out what's going on your end, and you're putting in the effort to build something healthier with that other person. And, you know, so the willing to do the work is, you know, well, if you want it, come and get it. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to meet you halfway, or that it's not going to, you know, that it's not going to be smoothed. The path won't be smoothed out. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes the path is hard and you're going through a forge. This last year, you know, this last year, my husband and I made a goal, and it was a really awesome goal for us. But we didn't know what we were going to have to be put through in order to reach that goal. And we went through it and we reached our goal. And in the middle of it, and it was so hard, I had to just keep asking, how does it get better than this? What else is possible? Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes the most important time to continue to remember, right? That's why you need to have the understanding of why you're doing something. If you don't have the goal and the why, when you reach the points that it's hard, because some of the things that we work on in life, it takes a lot of work to get it. And you have to know why you're doing it. And so when we go ahead.
No, sweetie, go ahead.
So just like getting, when you're stuck in the middle of it and it feels like the deepest stretch of your life, and I don't know if anyone on here has ever done stretching and you just want to get out of the stretch, you're just frustrated and done. You have to take a breath and you know, keep track of the time that you're doing it and tell yourself that it's worth it, right? What else is possible? How does it get better than this? And you have to be willing to have it, you know, be hard sometimes. I think that's just a normal part of it.
You do. It's not, we're not saying everything's going to be hard, but we have, you know, along with that willingness to work for it, also comes the question of, do you need to make a course correction?
Oh, yeah.
Is there something in this that maybe truly does need a little bit of shifting from where you thought you were going to go?
Yeah. Is this still the right way? And there doesn't need to be judgment about, like, I picked the wrong way or something. Yeah. Sometimes it's right at first, and then you need to pivot. And
just,
you know,
slightly.
Even. Yeah, just slight things. And that's what happened. You know, for us this last year, it was, okay, we need to pivot. There's some, you know, we've gained everything we need to gain from going this direction, and we shifted and it smoothed out. You know, it made it the right way. So, you know, it just, it can look different. And I think there's different levels of manifesting different things. Like sometimes you manifest things that are simple and kind of small, and that doesn't take a lot of work. But the bigger the thing is that you're manifesting, I think the more energy and the more work that it takes naturally, because it's, you know, it's a big deal thing to you, and right. it's a big deal. So
yeah,
it takes that energy. So what's
and it's worth the fire too.
Yeah.
These things that do take effort and work, in the end, it will be worth the fire that you had to go through.
Yes.
So number eight is receive and acknowledge what you have and what is given to you, and do mm-hmm. it with gratitude. You know, like the example I put here is a better relationship with God. So what I meant by that is, so the more that in the scriptures, what it says is that the more you recognize and acknowledge what you have already been given, what is already in your life, what you've already, it could be what you worked hard for and what was given to you from your higher power. If you will acknowledge those, mm-hmm. then more will be given to you. Acknowledge with gratitude.
Yes.
So, and that's so important, I have found in my life, is if I desire to have something more or improved even, I have to already see what I've already been given with gratitude. I have to appreciate mm-hmm. what's already here in my life. And yeah. then it makes like this path. It goes from bumpy to smooth. I don't have to worry. I have what I need.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm just looking for more now.
Yeah. And I love it because, you know, every time that you manifest something, whether it's small or large, there is that, it's almost mm-hmm. like, you know, you go through the process of creation and birth, and then you get to the end mm-hmm. and you're like, ah, okay,
yeah,
I did it. Now it's time for me to enjoy the thing that I've made, to enjoy the thing that I've received. And to have that happiness, and the more that you do this, the easier it is. And the yeah. more things that come to you that you're not even expecting, because you're just open to something being better. And, right. you know, and it's easier to hear your spiritual sources. It creates a lifestyle for you of being in tune with yourself and with God. So, you know, and I think that's a really great way to live. It's when you can not, you know, receive the things that you're wanting to receive, but also receive things that are even better than something you could have imagined.
Right. Totally. Totally right. I think you're right. And then, you know, when we see things like that, I actually think it, so how do I say that? It takes away anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Because it reminds us that we are safe. Even if we don't have these new things that we're looking towards or focused on, we actually are very safe if we can see what we already have.
Yes.
We feel safe, and we lose that panicky feeling like, what if I don't get this? Or how are people going to judge me if I've tried to start this business and it doesn't succeed? Things like that. We let go of that because we know what we've already been given. It builds a trust within ourselves
yeah.
about what's important and that we have it.
Yeah, I love that. So guys, that's our 8 steps. So I'm going to read them quickly now that we like went through it. So number yeah. 1, look at the spiritual stuff about you. 2, look at your thoughts. 3, look at the physical surroundings. 4, ask the right questions. Oops, I just messed that up. Can you read the other ones? I guess I'm scrolled away
from
it.
Sure, hon. Ask the right questions. The questions are, what do I really want? What is important to me? What do I already have? What is my goal and why? And what is stopping me from it? Is it mental, emotional, spiritual, physical? Let this be information for you. And then 5 is let go of your old beliefs. And 6, open up to new possibilities and see the changes that happen. 7, be willing to do the work. And 8, receive and acknowledge what you already have and what is given, and do it in gratitude so that you can receive more blessings.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I was saying before, this is a natural law. So this is the give and take, the karma and the law of the tithe, and a lot of different things that fit into this concept, and it can work for you or against you. I had a friend growing up who was extremely good at taking things from her mind and making it real, but she never did it in a way, well, no, I shouldn't say never. It was very hard for her to make it positive for herself in the end. Right. She had a goal. I remember we were, I don't know what age you were, maybe 6th or 7th grade. And she, that morning, had come to school and she just could not stop talking about hospital food. And I think like maybe a few months earlier, she had had to go to the hospital for something, either for her or for like her grandparents or something, right? And she'd eaten the food there.
Right.
She was just talking about the hospital. Oh, the hospital food is so good. I just want to eat hospital food. And the whole morning, and I said to her, because I had at this point spent enough years with her that I knew how she manifested things. It's like, you should be careful saying that because you tend to make something work for you. And sure enough, at recess, she broke her arm. Not on purpose, right? She was swinging or going on the monkey bars, fell and broke her arm and had to go to the hospital. And she got to have the hospital food. And it followed that pattern that we, those 8 steps. And her life was always like that. She was, whatever she thought about, she made happen. And I always hoped for her that she'd be able to really turn that into something that could manifest those happy things for her. So, that's kind of a silly thing that happened, but, that was a really strong one for her.
But it's a really good one. And another that I just thought of is, like I said, for a long time, I only thought that men were bad, that there were only just bad men in the world. And so if I had continued to hold on to that belief, then it's a high possibility that I would have only pulled in negative men into my life as an adult. Mm-hmm. And I would have only had unhealthy relationships and people who didn't know how to respect me for who I was. So, I mean, that could have gone a different direction, right? If I hadn't started to have an awareness and a desire that there was more out there.
Yeah. And, naturally in life, people kind of go through these steps. They're like naturally there. Mm-hmm. And learning, so learning to capitalize on it. And to, it's like jumping into the lazy river, if you've ever gotten in a lazy river. Instead of like fighting against the flow and like trying to get to the steps, like I'll be in control if I can get to the steps. Just go with the river and have fun. And you'll find that as you move with yourself and with God and all of the things in nature, you're able to do more things. And you feel more free. And, really this concept of really letting go, there's a surrendering that has to happen in order to fully embrace what manifesting can do for you or what your life can give to you. You have to surrender. And I don't know, it kind of sounds cheesy and cliche to say it like that, but it is, it's like getting an orgasm. You can't get an orgasm without learning how to release and to accept that it's happening. Yeah. And that's a really important thing to be able to do for sex really and for life. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things that people do right is figuring out how to let go, right? And you find often that someone who has manifested, a lot of times they'll talk about it like it was easy. Like, I just had to do this or I had to do that. I'm not quite sure all the time I think it's them with 20/20 hindsight. Yeah. Not always trying to impress people, but just looking back on it And a part of us says it was worth it, therefore it must have been as right. easier than I
And wanting to encourage it, others to do it. You know, you want other people right. to do it. And so you would naturally be like, oh, it was great. It was wonderful. And sometimes it totally has been, but that doesn't mean that it didn't take work or effort, like, you know, putting in the right. research to things.
And what does happen, I think, is with manifesting, when you feel like you're on the right course, where you feel like the direction you're going is good for you, that it's possible, right? Then you will find that the bumps are easier to take. The bumps are still there, but mm-hmm. you're able to stay more focused. Maybe that's the ease part, you know, that mm-hmm. they talk about.
Yeah.
Like the downsides didn't stay down very long, or the uphill climb wasn't as hard as you thought it would have to be, and stuff like that. Maybe that's what people mean. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But you definitely have to be willing still to hit those places.
I think that everybody who's listening today, I want you guys to go and watch the episode of SpongeBob with the magic conch shell. And if you haven't seen it already, hopefully you have. If you haven't, please go and watch it. I think that it actually shows a lot about manifesting. And
me too. I love it.
You have these extremes in it, like, and in the show anyway, right? Squidward kind of represents
how Squidward looks.
You know, Squidward's very frustrated because SpongeBob and Patrick are having everything work out for them, and it seems so easy, and it seems like all they're doing is asking the shell, and the shell tells them everything they want to hear, but it won't tell him what he wants to hear. And I actually think it's a wonderful example of manifesting, because, you know, how can you be more like SpongeBob and Patrick and less like Squidward? Yeah. Because, you know, in that episode, they really do a really funny job of showing, like, SpongeBob and Patrick literally doing nothing to have something manifest. But in reality, it's also showing their understanding of timing, too, because timing is important in manifesting. And they know when to ask a question. They know when to be still. Because there are times in life where we're saying, I want to have something, right? You might get the answer, not now. You need to wait. And, oh my gosh, a great example of this, of timing, and also being able to, I want to say, discuss or kind of create the pattern together with the universe and God of, like, going back and forth, having, you know, forming a contract maybe, or having a real discussion about something that you want, is you with the youngest two. When we got the, or what you had decided about getting.
Okay. So that is a good story, actually. Yeah. Although I mean, it's definitely manifested, isn't it?
But
I hadn't thought of it like that, actually, in a way, but it totally is. So when I was, when Athen was born, it was about a year old, and she was still living with her birth parents. And I had a dream that I would be bringing her to kindergarten, that she mm-hmm. would be mine. And she was in a school uniform, I remember. And I was walking her to school, and she was mine. And I woke up, and I was, no freaking way, God. I don't want any more children, and I don't want any more responsibility in my life. There's another step coming I'd like to do. And
the taking away.
Yeah. And the taking away. That was the other part. Thank you. And I said, plus, I believe that everybody is put into a family for a reason. So why would I take her away mm-hmm. from that reason, right? From the place that we're supposed to grow and develop. And,
even though it's unhealthy, that was where I wanted it to be. And we're all normal like that. There's nothing horrible about it. But but
I said to God, and I was so clear, I said, she would have to be put in my lap for me to do that.
Right.
She would have to be given right to me for me to say, oh, this is what I have to do. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Right. And where you'd be okay with it in your heart to do that.
Yeah. Where I'd be like, yeah, this is my job. I'm supposed to do this. And so that was when she, like a week after she was born. Mm-hmm. So then a year later, I get a call from my brother. We're at, we were at
a wedding, Karina's
my niece's wedding reception. And I get a call from my my brother, the birth father, saying, please come get Athen. And I'm like, why? He goes, the police are here. They're going to take her away. I don't care if you foster her or adopt her. I just don't want her anywhere else. And in my brain, I'm going, you idiot. You just signed and sealed what's going to happen. And now I'm going to have another child in my life. Yeah. And so that totally happened. There's more to the story, but that was the beginning of manifesting what I said were my parameters.
Yeah.
My parameters were that I was so adamant and so specific, you guys. Mm-hmm. So specific. I don't think a lawyer could have written me out of that contract I made with God. It was so tight. Yeah, there was no getting out of it from that point on. I tried, by the way. I tried a few different times. And every time God said, nope. This is what you told me, and this is what you're going to get now. This is what you have to do.
You know, there are these times in our lives where we contract something like that that's so strong. You can feel like the ripple of it. I remember in first grade, I did this on accident for my first time. My last name was Williams, and I was always at the back of the line, and I was so mad.
Where this is going.
So mad about it. I was like, gosh, this is the rest of my life. The rest of my life, I'm going to be at the back of the line, and I'm always going to get called last, and it's always going to be this way. And I thought to myself, no, it doesn't have to be this way. And I said, I'm going to get married someday, and that person will have a new last name. And I said to myself, and to just everything, I said, my husband's name will be at the beginning of the alphabet. And I just, boom, I felt it go out for me. And I stopped. And I remember I was standing in line, and I went, oh my gosh, what if being at the front of the line isn't as good? What if it's the same thing as me at the back of the line? And I was like, oh my gosh. And I could feel it was too late. It was done. And sure enough, my last name is Anderson now. So, you know, there are times you do it accidentally.
I love that one, honey. Yeah, I totally love that one, princess, because it's so real.
Yeah.
It's like you feel a lock click. And then it's like it's bolted in and you cannot move it. When each of us has that happened in our life in certain times, count it as a blessing, because it's a moment where you recognize that there is a higher power working with you.
Yeah. And with you is here. You know? It was okay, I listened. Here you go. So, you know, also be careful about, you know, they always say, be careful what you wish for.
But, what you wish for. Yeah.
You know, be aware. Be aware of when you're making those big decisions. But, you know, so... Guys, we need to wrap this up, but hopefully now you know why manifesting needs to be different. And
Be sure to like and follow us, you guys, wherever you're listening from. We're so grateful that you even joined us.
Yes.
If you have any topics you want us to cover, leave a comment in our YouTube videos or wherever, leave a comment. We are going to read those, and we hope to be able to help you in other ways in your life. We all need wisdom, and we all need sometimes extra focus, right? And yeah. Extra encouragement too.
And even just a safe space to you know, feel like, you know, how do you do things for reals? How does it really look?
Yeah. Really. And we know why.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Have an amazing day. Bye.
Bye.